folks. It's that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler. And, folks, we're going to do a kind of a conservation night talking about the most, in my opinion, the most important fish in the bay, in the Atlantic Ocean, in the Gulf. This impacts everyone in the area. I'm talking from Maine to Texas. Pretty wide range in that, folks, but it's, you know, it's very important. And what I'm talking about is menhaden, bunker, pogey. And there are a million names for them, but there's one main one, and that's, you know, everything eats it. But before we get going on that, I have two guests in the chat room, or one guest in the chat room, and Hammerhead Greg Crisp is in the chat room also from New Hampshire, and Scuba Stan from down in South Carolina. What's going on, guys? All right. So, folks, I'm a big supporter of, you know, conservation of these fish. And she just got a caller in. Hang on 1 second. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark, it's Greg.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Just trying to get the kids situated home alone tonight, so.
I understand.
Yep.
All right. So, I'm going to start off with this, folks. If you don't know what is going on in, and I'm going to focus mainly on Virginia and the Chesapeake Bay. And we're going to branch off a little bit, you know, farther in the show, but I'm going to go through what's happening in Virginia itself, and why this is so important. And first, I'm going to hit on the history and the biology of menhaden. And most people are probably going to fall asleep, but you're going to want to pay attention to this, folks. This is very important. Menhaden are filter feeding fish, pure and simple. They don't eat anything else but photoplankton. They're just like oysters. They filter out the water. They take the nasty water, filter it out, period, end point. The Chesapeake Bay is the largest estuary. Let me repeat that again. The largest estuary in the United States. It makes the Everglades. It makes the bayous of the Gulf, the Louisiana area. It makes everything else look like a farm pond, okay? And I'm not saying just the bay itself. What I'm considering is also the branches of rivers, the James, the York, Rappahannock, you know, the Chickahominy, all the way up to the Potomac, the Susquehanna, and every other river that is connected to the bay is an estuary. Okay? The biggest thing is that almost every inshore species has, on the East Coast, delivers their little babies, the little fry, end up in the bay. Okay? So, and that includes the menhaden. Menhaden, almost three-quarters of the East Coast menhaden population, folks. You know, just under three-quarters are spawned and grow up in the bay or near the bay, okay? So let's think about that. We're going to go with, like, let's say 5/8 for those of us that know our fractions, okay? That's a little more than half, a little less than three-quarters, all right? So now let's take a step back to what is really the key here. The Manhattan spawn in the bay, the filter feeders, and I don't care who says what, okay? I remember as a kid, my grandfather showing me with a couple of small little Manhattan in a bucket with some nasty water. He said, let them in there, come back in 15 minutes. Came back, that water was clean. Okay? These things are filter feeders, folks. Period, end point. They clean the bay. They clean the oceans. And I can't express that enough. Okay, so that's one thing that you know, we need Manhattan for. Second thing, every fish, every bird, everything that needs the saltwater ocean, you know, that works with the sodium H2O, eats Manhattan. I'm talking birds, osprey, seagulls, those annoying little birds that fly around squeaking all the time, eat Manhattan in some way, shape, or form. Okay? Every fish, and we're talking not just, you know, the stripers and the blues, but speckled trout, weak fish. Jeez, there's so many. Flounder. You know, people have been catching fish recently in the bay, stripers mainly, that are emaciated. They're starving. And why is this? Because, folks, the Manhattan are getting Jesus. You know, they're just no Manhattan anymore. I remember growing up as a kid. You know, this is the 80s, folks. And this is on Long Island, where you could look as far as you could see left. And this is sitting on the end of Montauk Point, underneath the lighthouse, where you can see for miles. Okay, looking as far left into Long Island Sound, bringing your gaze all the way across, all the way down the South Shore towards Turtle Cove and everything else, and just the water would be churning with Manhattan, more than you could even think about. Okay, you go there now, you don't see that. You might see a small school. And this is in New York, folks, where they have really strict rules. You can take this all the way up the coast, all the way down the coast. You just don't see the schools like we used to. I've got Mr. Eric Harrison who joined us. Thank you, Eric. He says, hey, no pogies or Manhattan found in the harbor this year. I guess that's Boston Harbor.
Yep, he's up in Boston.
Yeah. Greg, you said you only saw one small school for 30 seconds?
Yeah, that's all I've seen this year at all. I was down in Buzzards Bay and south of the Cape and saw one school surface for about 30 seconds and disappeared.
Yeah.
And that was it.
You know, and City of Ash, you know, I think you're from Jersey, I believe. He says the schools are getting thick with the colder water in Jersey. Well, folks, that's, you know, Jersey is another spot where there's a lot of Manhattan this time of year. The reason for that this time of year is that they're the colder ones, the ones from up north, are coming down to the southern ones, and the water temps are just not right for those southern ones yet. They're not acclimated yet. So they pile up in Jersey. Before they make their final migration farther down towards the bay and towards the Carolinas. So they'll sit there in Jersey for about 2-3 weeks, possibly a month, getting their bodies acclimated from 60-degree water to the 70-ish, the 60s. So, you know, just like the same thing if you had a goldfish. That goldfish is going to go, when you buy it, you stick that whole bag that's in there in the water, in the aquarium water first, so that water can become acclimated, a fish can become acclimated. Same thing we do, folks, when you jump in a pool. You put your toes in, ooh, that's cold. You keep your toes in for a second, it doesn't feel so cold. You wade the whole way in, it's not so cold. But you jump straight in, on a hot day and that's a cold pool, what are you going to do? You're going to freeze up, right? You don't like that. Neither do fish.
All right.
Yeah. And City of Ash brings up the big boats. Yeah, I don't know. That's... Anyway, this year I did see a bunch of schools in the summertime coming out of the bay and heading south. We're not talking a big schools, folks. We're talking maybe the size of a kitchen table piled together. Now, that's probably, 150, 200 fish in these schools. But even still, it's sad. That's what it really is. Everything eats these things. I mean, that's why you're seeing a lot less shorebirds. And that's a point that a bunch of these conservation groups are now coming out with is, these birds are dying because they're not eating. That's why you're seeing birds that should never be inland are now inland. I saw a gannet the other day while I was about 60 miles inland. Gannets, folks, are those birds you see, when the fish are crashing and these things are diving from like 200 feet up into the water like it's raining. You can't see through them because there's so many of them. Okay? And now you can't, I'm seeing them 80 miles inland looking for food. Folks, if you could sit here and see me right now, I'm shaking my head. Because it's awful. But you know what? It's not, there's no overfishing happening. No overfishing at all. And that's what Omega is saying. Little history on Omega. Omega is one of the last Manhattan companies. Boat. Fish meal, fish oil companies on the East Coast. We could go all the way back to the 60s, folks, and there were Manhattan processing plants up and down the East Coast from Nova Scotia to Florida. Now, eventually, many of these went out of business because people didn't like the smell of rotting menhaden. Folks, that fish oil you're eating, guess what? That's about, 8-month-old, rotten menhaden. Real appetizing, huh? That's how they get the oils out. They cook them and they let them sit and seep. It's just... there's a lot of worse things out there that are done, but I don't know. But folks, your cat, guess what? That's not salmon. That's menhaden that he's eating. Most of the fish meal out there in the United States and across the world is menhaden. Okay? Period end point. Okay? It's used for just about everything. Cosmetics. That eyeliner, hon. Guess what it is? That's that menhaden I brought home that stink like hell. Okay? I'm trying to force the end apart that everything we have out there has some sort of menhaden that we don't quite realize. And yes, a menhaden are full of omega-3 fatty acids, which are great for us. Personally, I eat enough fish and do enough to get my omega-3s that I don't need a fish pill. Salmon. You eat a fillet of salmon every 2 days, 2 to 3 days, you're getting your omega-3s. As much as taking one of these fish pills. You don't have the nasty taste in your mouth either. It could be good tasting, like teriyaki or something. Smoked. Ooh, even better. Bluefish. Jeez. Eat some bluefish, folks. There's enough out there. But anyway, getting off point. The menhaden are needed. And Omega is, like I said, the last Manhattan processing facility with 10 boats. Folks, these guys have 10 boats. 10, let me bring that back. 10 large boats. Okay. And let me explain what they do. Omega has 4 search planes. They run about 1 or 2 a day when they're out fishing. These search planes get up in the air and they go really slow and they can spot a school. And they kind of make a decision from up top how big the school is. If it's big enough and worth their time, they're going to instruct the boat to come over and they're going to purse seine. Basically what they do is they drop one big net, they bring it all the way out and around the school, come all the way in, connect the net, and start drawing the net up and bringing all the fish to the top. Now, remember what I said about everything in the bay, in the ocean, eats Manhattan? I'm not talking fish either. I'm talking mammals, turtles, okay, sharks. And guess what? If you find a Manhattan school, 99 times out of 100, there's going to be a shark, a striper, a cobia, a drum, a predatory fish somewhere near that school or in the school. I have seen drum, puppy drum, in smaller Manhattan schools in the middle of the school just swimming right with the Manhattan. Underneath them, but still with them. Because, you know, folks, why would you leave a food source? As good for these predatory fish. Yeah, bluefish. You know, it's why would you do that? Okay, and that's what these fish are doing. It's the same thing. You know, it's just like, you know, those largemouth bass. You know, in the lakes. One of my favorite things to do is to find a little creek that feeds off of that feeds a lake. Because within 25 yards of that creek mouth is going to be filled with bass. Because they just wait for the water to start flowing out during the rain. And they're going to sit there with their mouths open. Because here it comes. Crawfish, baby fish, insects, the neighbor's kid. That's really annoying. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know what I mean. Okay? So this person comes around. It gets everything. They start drawing it up. Then they have a vacuum. They suck everything up. And they just, you know, no care. They just stick this big vacuum-looking thing, this big hose down in the middle of the school, and they just start bite a ton of Manhattan and bycatch. Here's the thing. Okay? Omega, last year, caught approximately 122,000 metric tons of Manhattan last year. Okay? Hang on, folks, doing some math here. Alright. Now, their bycatch, as they put it, is around 1%. Alright. So let's just say between reds, stripers, bluefish, let's just say between those three, okay, that they was in their bycatch only. Okay? We're looking at 1,200 metric tons of bycatch of our stripers, our blues, our cobia, our drum, black and red, turtles, dolphins, weak fish, flounder. Do I need to keep going? Okay. Compared to other techniques that are out there. You know, compared to, you know, how the bait side, the bait fishermen do it. There is actually a guy right down the street from me who fishes for menhaden for bait only. And he only catches about 5,000 pounds a year. Why? Because he only supplies three stores, three bait shops, and some crab guys. Okay? He uses the old school net. He sees a school, he goes out in front of them, drops his net, they run into the net, okay? And he doesn't keep it out there for no more than like 5 minutes. He immediately starts bringing it in, and he has three guys working with him. Two guys deal with the menhaden, one guy is strictly bycatch. You know what that guy does? He unhooks and throws him right back in the water. Right back in the water. Right back in the water. Unless it's clearly not alive. And he only keeps the larger menhaden. Now, folks, that's what I'm going to bring up next. Menhaden, their age progression, okay? Menhaden are not mature to lay eggs and spawn until they're 2 years old. That's about the 4-inch range on your typical menhaden. The Omega only likes to go after 4 to 6 inch menhaden. The spawning stock. Okay? And menhaden are just like every other fish. From your speckled trout to your stripers. The bigger they are, the more eggs they lay. Okay? So let's think about this. If I catch, you know, all the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 inch menhaden, okay? And the 4-inch ones only give out, I'm just going to throw out a number, like 1 million eggs, okay? But an 8-inch one throws out 8 million eggs. It's just frustrating, folks. You know, that we're killing the ocean and the bay. Everyone says, save the bay, save the bay. Save the menhaden. Please, folks. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fishermen just like us. Not just kayakers. Not just boaters. Fishermen. I'm hearing commercial guys saying, hey, this is a situation now, that aren't associated with Omega. That are going, you know, there's just, the fish aren't just here. They're just not here anymore. In the numbers we need. You know, instead of going out 100 days, you know, a year, they're going on 120, 150. Because they're not getting their quotas. You know, the crabbers are loving it. There's so much crab out there, but the crab have nothing to eat. So the guys that are running the nets for the spot, the croaker, stuff like that, they can't leave their nets more than 15, 20 minutes. So they have to pull them up because the crabs are climbing up the nets or swimming up to the fish that are caught in the nets and eating them. Folks, processing plants, fish houses will not accept fish that have their eyes torn out, their fins eaten off, or mutilated in any way. But that's what the crabs are doing. The crabs have nothing to eat. Just like everything else in the bay. So. See, folks, the menhaden, like I said before, is the keystone. And for those of you who don't know what the keystone is, I had the joy of living in the Keystone State for a while in Pennsylvania. The keystone is when you look at an arch. It is that middle stone at the center of the arch. It's what holds the arch together. You have keystones in circles. In those decorative circles you see in like churches and stuff like that. Look at them. There's four keystones. It's what keeps everything together. It's the pressure. You take that keystone out, everything will crumble. And folks, that keystone is really loose and about ready to fall out. It's going to get ugly here in the Bay soon. But we have regulation coming around that will hopefully change that. Hopefully. Greg, you know, let me take a second and relax my jaw. What have you seen in the past, let's say, 15 years, you know, with the Manhattan stock up by you?
Well, I can't truthfully comment back that far. I've only lived in the Northeast this round for about 3 years.
Okay.
And by the time I got here, it was already on the decline. But, you know, you used to, you know, be able to see them from shore. You know, you could drive up the coast, see birds, see bait fish, and, you know, launch to them or, you know, surf cast to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was, you know, how guys went around and fished. You know, and unfortunately, I missed most of that. But even, you know, last year, you know, I ran into, you know, a couple schools. And this year, there were just, you know, there were none. It just happened that I was down fishing for Albies down in Buzzards Bay and actually saw Menhaden. But that was it for the year. You know, and, you know, Eric chimed in earlier, and he's on the water, you know, more than anyone else I know, that is, you know, is not a professional fisherman or guide. And the fact that he, you know, is saying there were no pogies in Boston Harbor is a lot. You know, it's not good. You know, basically we're kicking the legs out from under the ladder that's holding everything up.
Yeah.
Thing's going to collapse.
That's why everyone on Montauk this year, in the past 3 years actually, you just brought up a great point, past 3 years, there have been no big Manhattan schools for the Blues and the Stripers to feed on. They've been feeding on sand eels. Oh, my God. That sand eel population in the Northeast goes away. Cod. Stripers. Flounder. Or fluke. Black sea bass. Tog. Weakfish are going to disappear. Why? Because everything in the Northeast, north of New York, I'm going to say actually New Jersey, all the fry and the smaller baby fish eat the sand eels during the wintertime when they go offshore, especially the tog, the sea bass, things like that. You lose the sand eels because they're being decimated by the fish because there's nothing else to eat. Folks, we're in a downward spiral that I hope we can pull up and level off on. I really do. But if you want to read up on this stuff, folks, type in Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.org. They have the newly updated Manhattan Stock Assessment. Okay? I read this back in May of 2010 when it first came out. Okay? And I was furious. So I was like, how are they getting this? There's no way. Absolutely no way. But due to people saying there's something wrong here, it was newly revised in March of 2011. And here's their explanation for what happened. In November 2010, it was revealed that within the 2009 Atlantic Manhattan Bay Stock Assessment Model Code, there was a mistake. The model computes three types of numbers of number at age used for various purposes in the model. The code computes numbers at the beginning of the year, the midpoint of the year, and the variable fraction of the year to correspond to spawning. For Menhaden, the spawning fraction is set to zero, such that the numbers at the beginning of the year equal those at the spawning time, both assumed to occur every March 1st. The midpoint numbers are used to compute the predicted pound net index values because the data for this index are collected during the summer and fall time periods. Unfortunately, the midpoint, said the beginning of the year, numbers at age were used for computing the predicted landings. The effect of this in the model is to apply an additional half year of total mortality to the population. This has the net effect of changing the scale of the predicted model output with limited effects on the trends of the output. As a result, stock status change. Okay. And guess what, folks? It changed. That stock status changed to being good to now being overfished. Okay, and they show it here. Overfishing was occurring in the terminal year of 2008. Given the current overfishing definition, overfishing has occurred in 32 of the last 54 years. Folks, that's more than half. You get this to a second grader and they go, there's something wrong here. Okay. Now, there is a bunch of other stuff in that paragraph that really gets into numbers and stuff like that, and I'm not good with numbers, folks. And all in 1 year, yes, is what they concluded. And guess what, folks? For the past 3 years, they've been overfishing them. You can just go to Omega, omegaprotein.com, and see their landings. You can see the National Marine Fisheries Council president in a commercial. Let me say that again. The National Marine Fisheries Council's president saying that there's no overfishing going on. This is the guy that makes all the rules. Who can sit there and say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with the Manhattan population. But look at my new house. Isn't that nice? Thank you, Omega. Now I'm probably going to get people with bad emails. You can't say that. Well, I just did. What are you going to do about it? I'm fine. You know, someone in and this is media, folks, is actually going to say it. Period. CCA, Coastal Conservation Association, they've known this. Every conservation group up and down East Coast knows this, that Omega puts a lot of money in people's pockets, boy. Woo. It's out of control, folks. So these Manhattan boats are based in Virginia. This is the Virginia's one big black eye in my eyes. You know, when I first moved here and I saw the pound nets where they stick the telephone poles in the water and they net all these fish, I thought that was barbaric. How could they do that? So I realized they take those nets out at the end of the year. That's now structure. That's now one of my favorite spots to fish. because they know every year they have to reinstate their license to get a new pound net set up, more structure. And pound nets, folks, don't take a lot of fish because it's way too much on them. What is Omega giving back to the ocean? The bait guys are taking menhaden, yes. And they're taking their fair share, don't get me wrong. Right around 20 metric tons for the whole East Coast. Okay? But they're giving back in some way. That fish is being used for crab and lobster pots, which have the coal rings in them. So they're not taking small crabs either. Those crabs are going in there and feeding. For commercial fishermen, hook and line fishermen, for guides, and for us to use as bait. Are going to a smaller area that's getting the menhaden milk and the oil for us to use as chum. Okay. Folks, there's, you know, we have to take a stand. This is an opportunity for us coming up here. Because they're about ready to meet again. Because if you take the time, and it's about a four-hour read, to read through everything, and to truly understand it, in the ASMFC report. Okay, that there are addendums, that there are triggers for a meeting to change the cap on the harvest of menhaden. Okay, that cap was blown the past couple years. So that trigger's hit, and they're going to meet. It's time for us to take a stand and let our voices be heard. Because folks, if we keep it up, keep up the way it's going, I'm sorry. We just won't have a bay. We won't have Atlantic Ocean to fish in anymore because the fish won't be around. They'll be offshore, eating all the offshore species. Or inshore, you know, I can see taking my grandkids out if this keeps up. Catching a 20-inch striper and going, kids, that's a 30-year-old striper. And he's probably about the size of a Coke can. Just nothing for him to eat. City of Ash says, the only way to fix the problem is to close the fishery for a few years. Yeah. Or Virginia takes a stand. Virginia is the last state that still allows purse-seining like this. Okay? Virginia took a stand and said no. No more. It would change everything. If that would happen, it would help. But yes, a closure or a significant cap. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm talking only, let's say, 25 metric tons for commercial fish meal per year. Folks, that would do wonders. They're taking 120 metric tons right now. 120 metric tons. Okay. Drop that down to 25. Yeah, that would do something. We can't just close the fishery all the way, because then what would the bait guys do? What would the hook and line fishermen, what would we do if we wanted to chunk bunker, if there's a complete stop on the fishery? Use it for bait. What would you do? I know a lot of guys will lose their damn mind. I know a lot of guys that are cobia captains. That's all they fish for, is cobia in the summertime. And they use a lot of bunker. They lose it. But you put a significant cap and or you close the bay to any menhaden harvest. From Cape Henry to Cape Charles up to the Susquehanna Flats. Zero harvest. That would change. But you know what, folks? That wouldn't just do it. Because you know what they'd do? They'd sit with every last boat at the mouth of the bay. Get them as they come out. So I'm just going to take that one step further. Let's put a significant cap on them. Not the 25, let's say 50. 10 of that goes to bait. So they only walk away with 40 metric tons. And they can't fish for menhaden within a 5-mile radius of the bay. Give those chance, those fish a chance. Give those fish a chance to get out to where they can travel north, travel south, out in the ocean. Folks, that's attainable. And to say, oh, what about the fish oil? What about the omega-3s? Give you an idea. I was at GNC the other day, and I stopped in, and I looked at omega-3 fish oil made from menhaden. Okay? Looked at the price. This is a big bottle, folks. This is one that you should actually buy. $45. Right next to it was another fish oil made from sardines, anchovies, stuff like that. $32. 45, 32. Times are tough, folks, since they got a rocket scientist to figure that out. But you know what? There's one better than that if you need to take it, because you can't eat fish for whatever reason. Red krill. Folks, there are farms that farm red krill just for their omega-3s. The pills are smaller. It's more omega-3s. It's easier absorbed into your body. $22 for a big bottle. Now, that's a sustainable fishery. Why? Because it's farmed. You can't farm menhaden. There is not enough photoplankton, zooplankton out there to feed enough menhaden that you can make or grow, period. Period. I mean, simple as that. So, folks, please, go out. Find these websites, these groups. Coastal Conservation Association. There's a CCA in every state that I know of. Join CCA. Join your local club. Many of the local clubs are out there. Do a great job with, you know, baking sales to help with trying to change the regs. Okay. Save the menhaden. Menhaden defenders. All the rest of them are great websites for educating us and for pushing for regulation change. Down to phishing websites. There's a website that started by a man named Brandon White. I believe that's his last name. He lives in Maryland. He started a website called TitleFish.com. Okay. It's a great website. You want to talk about knowledge and info. Oh, my God. The forum on there, it takes you almost a day to drag down to see all the different forum listings. The front page, though, guess what's right on there? Save the Man Hayden. One major voice right there. But you know what? The major voices need a lot of smaller voices. That's us, folks. I believe it's Manhattan Defenders have the legislation page for you to go in. You just put your name, your date of birth, and you submit it. I believe that's all you needed, or just your name. But anyway, you submit this. They've already got a pre-typed sheet saying, I want tougher conservation for Manhattan. And that, folks, we're not talking like minusing them, you know, shorting them down to a metric ton. We're talking a significant drop in their catch. Okay. The link's on there. It's www.manhattandefenders.org for those of you that do not know or listen to the podcast. Okay. Now, along with this, I am challenging every viewer, every listener, every podcast member to take this podcast that you hear. This will be up 20 minutes after the show is done. To put it on your website. Put it on a local website. Put it on, you know, wherever you can find it without, you know, making people angry. To let our voice be heard, folks. Or just tell someone, hey, you gotta check out this podcast. You know, you can find it right here. Send them to Kayak Fishing Radio. And that's not a push for Kayak Fishing Radio, folks. Yeah, I need to explain that. It's not just for Kayak Fishing Radio. This is about saving our ocean. Because, folks, if we lose Manhattan, it doesn't matter how we drop the fishery for everything else. It doesn't matter what regulations come down. It wouldn't matter. The fish won't be around because there's nothing for them to eat. This is something we really need to jump on before it's too late. Like I said, folks, manhattandefenders.com or .org, excuse me, save the Manhattan. Or just type in your search page, Manhattan Conservation. Okay? There are 100, there's about 20 to 30 out there that are really good. Rob Choi, who's unfortunately not here right now, did a great article on what we need to do to help these fish. And you can go to www.angling-addict.com. Again, that's angling-addict.com. He has a great website, folks. Check it out. I have everything on there for you to know. I think I've hit everything. Greg, do you think I missed anything?
The only thing that I can think of to point out is the Fisheries Commission is going to be voting on this, I believe, up in Boston. I think it's November 2nd.
Yep.
On Amendment 5. So, you know, it's the time now to get letters written, you know, and let them know our thoughts. concerned about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to put the pressure, because, you know, Omega's definitely putting the pressure on them from the other side.
Oh, yeah. Call your senator. Call your legislator.
Yeah.
City council member. I don't care. The Manhattan doesn't care. But you have to do something, folks. I was living in San Diego when the Marine Life Protection Act yahoos were saying close down the beaches, close down the ocean, the Pacific Ocean to California. And, yeah, they put up a good fight, but not as good as, you know, as what should have been. And now there are places in San Diego, from the Mexican border to the Oregon coast, that you can't fish. You can't walk on the beach. Why? Because we didn't raise our voice like we should have. Folks, we need to step up. Tell your friends, tell your buddies. If you're sitting at work and you know that your buddy, you know, three cubicles down or whatever, fishes, bring up the website. Bring up something. Have them walk over like, hey, man, could you do this for me? You know, it's legislation to save the Manhattan. You know how important they are, right? If he doesn't, explain to him, hey, they're the keystone to, you know, everything. Without them, we don't have fish. Oh, man. You know, it's not going to cost them anything. What, 2 minutes of their time? 20 seconds if they know what's happening and go, oh, I've been looking for this. Folks, we need to do something. And this is how we do it. I'm not saying for Omega to go under, because that's jobs lost. We don't need any more lost jobs. But for responsible, ecological conservation, this is needed. Before, we're not just talking about save the Manhattan, we're talking about save the stripers, save the bluefish, save the flounder, save the oyster toad.
Save the birds.
Save the birds.
Yeah.
And the dolphin. And the turtles. And the seahorses. Yeah, folks. If you guys have daughters, guess what? Be like, hey, honey, we need to save the seahorses. Oh, yeah. Your daughter will become the biggest pusher for saving the seahorses by saving the Manhattan. Little light tone for you, folks. Not so serious. Ha-ha. Okay. But this is time, folks. It's time. But yeah, the meeting starts November 2nd. And I know of two biologists that are going there that have studied the impact of the Manhattan harvest on wakefish, bluefish, and stripers. Strictly. They're not happy. I talked to one today. He is unfortunately unavailable because he is out of the country via Skype. And he was talking about this and saying that this, folks, is very important. This, when he gets back, he said the numbers are staggering. Absolutely staggering. So, folks, this is getting bad. All right, we have area code 804. You're on the air.
Hey, man, it's Rob Choi, dude.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, I just got off of work, so I just figured I'd call and get the last little bit of it, man. I caught a little bit of it on the computer, but I decided to just go ahead and call in. And I was actually wondering something real quick. I wonder if anybody else knew the answer to this, or if anybody that all knows about it. To my understanding, that the Sports Recreation industry of fishing, it far exceeds the commercial, the commercial, you know, value. And I'm wondering if, you know, anybody knows why we haven't, or some groups have not recruited, say, like Bass Pro Shops, or, you know, all these other big fishing, sports fishing companies, you know, who obviously have some sort of connection to this. And, you know, if the fishing industry dumps out commercial and or recreational, you know, these people are also potentially going to lose a crap ton of money. I'm wondering why they don't have more say in this, and if Omega is able to put up this kind of money towards the politicians, which in the end, that's really where it comes down to. It's money right now. It's the money that's going to talk. And if, you know, if we were somehow to get a lot of these big name recreational fishing, either equipment or whatever, just companies that we can probably fight back on that. You know what I mean? Does anybody know or have anything to say? Or, you know, I was just thinking about this just a little while ago, and just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm right with you, Rob. Give you an idea. In 2009, this is coming from Omega's website, folks. Fish oil, global omega-3 dietary supplement sales were $2.9 billion. Okay? Virginia alone does $2 billion in recreational sales.
Yeah.
50 states.
So, I mean,
let's just say an average of...
Yeah.
Yeah, $2 billion. That's $100 billion going back into the economy. But you know what?
Yeah, or, imagine what Florida gets.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Florida, you can only imagine. But, you know, add up just AFMFC states, you know, just the 15 states that go up and down to the East Coast. I mean, that's a huge amount of money that, you know, we should be able to raise, not only through, you know, the individuals themselves, but obviously the companies who have obviously a lot at stake there. I think we should, I don't know, maybe there is something else that I don't know about why this isn't happening. I feel like it should have by now. But, I mean, at least we have, you know, our communications here, and all the recreational fishermen should need to send them an email. AFMFC has got that website up right now, and it's Menhaden Defenders Out. I'm sorry, I don't know what you guys talked about so far. I just jumped on, so I apologize if I'm rehashing it because I think you already talked about, but... everybody really needs to send this. It doesn't take, you know what I mean? You don't actually have to read the whole thing. You'll read everywhere. The more research I do on this subject, the more, like, insane it feels. And just know that we really need to do this. And just go on there, punch in your zip code. It'll tell you who your email is going to go to, and just hit send. Fill out your info. That's all it is. I think it's just so important.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting all fired up now.
No, that's fine. Their total revenue for 2010 was $168 million. That's coming from financial performance sheet. Page 22 of Omega Protein's financial investor sheet. It's right in front of me. Folks, Eric Harrison puts on the KeepAmericaFishing.org. They are actually a major supporter for the tougher regulation of Menhaden. That just came out, I think, a couple months ago. By supporting CCA. The Keep America Fishing is supporting CCA, Menhaden, or Save the Menhaden, Save the Bay are all part of that. Rob, you brought up a great point that I've been trying to mull over myself. But give me an idea of where. I mean, it's just amazing where you see. Anyone here drink Smart Balance? Guess where that protein and Smart Balance is coming from? Matt Hayden. Now, that's what they have on there.
There's a lot of other places that we can get omega-3 from. There's a bunch of other places.
Oh, yeah. And
I actually heard the flaxseed and flax oil is actually one of the better ways to get it, too. And there's a bunch of different ways. And it's just that they found a way to really just screw everything up and just take their money is what it is. And they'll spend money to keep it, so... I mean, we can't get mad at them, honestly. The laws are the laws, and they found a way to, make it legal. And we just need to get our lawmakers to fix it, because it's ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, if you can make a bunch of money just doing, what they're doing, wouldn't you either? I mean, granted, it's obviously insanely selfish and disgusting, but, people, they want to make their money, and that's what they're going to do to get it, so...
And to be truthfully honest, I'm not mad at Omega. I'm mad at the regulators, the people that create the regulations, for not stepping on this faster. Okay? Omega's just trying to stay afloat. Okay? Because I'm looking at their quarterly earnings and stuff like that, and Omega's not doing so hot.
It's because they fished out all the fish already.
Yeah,
exactly. There's almost so much you can take before it's all gone.
Yeah.
So, folks, eventually, fingers crossed, we can have Matt Hayden for the future. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But we need to do it, do it intelligently, by not destroying a company that employs a lot of people, that supplies a lot of product. Now, granted, there are other ways of doing it. They could create this product. I just looked on their website. They're opening two new plants in the Midwest on farms. So... this could be a sign that Omega is going to try to get away from the Matt Hayden. I doubt it, but keep our fingers crossed.
Well, it's kind of like a natural resource thing, just like with the whole oil thing. Like, there's only so much you can do, and people who have control over it, obviously. And you got to find alternative ways to get stuff. If you want your Omega-3s, if you want to be in that business, you got to find a different way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And people need to realize that there's other ways of getting your fish oil than just taking a pill. Open a can of tuna, omega-3s, flaxseed oil. You brought up flaxseed oil is a great omega-3. The best thing about flaxseed oil is, especially if you get it concentrated, you can put it in anything. It has no flavor. I have a person I used to fish with who passed recently who had concentrated flaxseed oil in a bottle with a dropper. Every meal, two drops. He had the best heart of a 90-year-old who smoked, drank, ate bacon with every meal, fried in bacon grease, that his doctor could not believe how his blood pressure and cholesterol were so good. He said this is a 30-year-old man's blood pressure and cholesterol. Right there, folks. And unfortunately, he passed because he got hit by a car. Go figure, right? But, eat salmon. Support the salmon farmers. Support the farm raised. That's what's given us the opportunity to catch the fish we're catching. Eat fish, folks. Don't take a pill. Just eat the dang fish. Go fishing. That's what it comes down to. Let's all go fishing. Rob, you going fishing this weekend, man?
I wish. I don't know. I'm gonna really try hard to. I've been out of town all week with some work out of town. So my wife would probably be a little upset if I came home and be like, hey, peace out, I'm fishing. But she might, if I can finagle my way, I might be able to get out for an afternoon somewhere. We'll see. Cross my fingers. How about you, man? What are you doing?
I'm kind of taking a back seat right now. I'm finally getting a new kayak. I've tried everything on my ride to get the hull as patched up as possible, and I've got it to a nice place. But if I take my kayak out like I usually do, you know, all the time, I just wreck the hull within a month. So it's time for me to step up, get a new kayak, and hopefully by Monday.
What do you think about that?
Either the 115 or the 135.
Nice.
I just got
to
see.
If you want to do more off like, like say, like First Island type stuff, I have to say I'd recommend the 135 more so than the 115. But if you do a lot of freshwater fishing too, so I mean, it's up to you, I guess. But if you did want to do more some of the I can't really say offshore, but, you know, I mean, in a sense, it is 3 miles offshore, but still, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you want to go farther out, I'd say probably the 135.
Well, my biggest thing is the seat, man.
Yeah.
08 ride, great kayak, stable, you know, decent speed. But you know what? That seat, it doesn't matter how big and fluffy your butt is, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually going to go into ARC tomorrow. I already called Vic and told him. Vic's the manager of the Admax River Company store in Yorktown.
Great guy.
Oh, excellent. Folks, I don't plug Admax River Company enough, and I know I should. These guys are, oh,
they know their stuff, and they really help you out. They don't try to sell you extra crap. They tell you they're like real personal service. It's good stuff. Sure.
Yeah, you go in there, and it's, you know, hey, what's going on? Hey, not much. Can I help you? You know, that's the first things you hear, and you go, no, I'm just gonna look around. Cool, and they leave you alone. Folks, you don't see that anymore. Usually, it's, no, I'm just going to look around. Oh, okay, well, let me show you. No. They leave you alone. So you can look around. I remember I went in there to buy a paddle. And I told, it was Ray Montez was working that day. Good guy. Hobbit. You know, I needed a paddle. And he's like, yeah, man. He looks at me and goes, this is the paddle you need. I'm like, how do you know that? He's like, well, I know you kayak fish. Yeah, so you need something light but durable. You need about 100 or, you know, whatever length. It was 225 centimeter length because of your size. And this is what we have. And it's inexpensive. I was like, oh, cool. I've had that paddle now for 2 years. And I can't see myself buying any other paddle. PFDs, if they put a PFD on you, folks, and they look at you and go, that's not the PFD you want because of this, this, and this, and this, and the, you know, the back isn't sitting high enough or whatever, they'll find another one for you. If you don't live in Virginia, not a problem. They ship to anywhere in the United States. Texas, Missouri, and they shipped one to North Dakota. And I think for one guy, they took the price of shipping. They ate that because the guy's kayak got stolen or something like that. These guys are just, I can't say enough, folks. Go to paddleva.com, check them out. And if you come down to Virginia and you pass through Farmville, stop off at their main store and ask to see the warehouse. Folks, it's like stepping into, you know, I walked in there for the first time, and as far as you can see are kayaks. Not necessarily fishing kayaks, but just kayaks stacked on their nose,
10 deep on either side, up in the ceiling rafters on the second floor. Man, I skipping through the aisles, giggling like a schoolgirl. I mean, it was great.
It was, check these guys out, folks, paddleva.com. Okay. But yeah, I'm, you know, it's mostly the seat, Rob. If I can find, you know, if I sit in the 135, or if I see the seats the same as the 08 version, which I don't think it is, then I'm going to have to go with the 115.
I thought that both of them had that new seat they got going on with all the adjustable everything.
You're making me.
I don't know. I'm not a wildy guy, man. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for it, and it's all good stuff. I don't know all that much about it. So, anyway, I'm sure whatever you choose, they're gonna hook you up on it, so it'll be good.
Yeah, and for me, I had Ocean Kayaks while I was out in San Diego, and I love them. That was back when I was skinny, man. They're just not as stable as I remember them.
Yeah, well, the 135 is pretty darn stable, man. I mean, that's a wide boat. And anytime anybody ever talks about needing stability, I'm like, yeah, Wildy 135, go check it out, because that's it right there.
Well, I should have done this before I started talking. The Ride 135 does have the same seat as the 115, so it looks like I'm getting a Ride 135.
There you go. Anyway, dude, back to the thing. I can't really stay on too long, but you know, hopefully everybody checks out that site and MenHaddenDefenders.org. I think it's probably one of the easier ones to look up, or just look up Menhaden Conservation. You know, just fill it out. Do something before November 2nd, please. On that note, I am going to peace out. So, Rob, take care, man. Get Joe. Everybody else, hope you all have a good night, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Definitely, man.
Take care, Rob.
And remember, folks, go to angling-addict.com and support Rob Choi's blog. It's a good one. Greg, you going fishing this weekend?
I'm hoping to. The weather's looking pretty good. The striper reports are looking slim, so I don't know if I'm going to go chase stripers or if I'm just going to chase largemouth locally. So, but yeah, I hope to get out for one day. Unfortunately, well, it's actually not a bad time of the year for work to really be picking up to an extremely high level for me, because fishing's pretty much over for the year. So if I can fish all summer, work all winter, I'd do that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, so, but yeah, the next couple months are going to have me running flat out with work, so.
Right.
Maybe getting few and far between the trips for the last month of the season.
Right. Cool, man. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Stay dry. Mm-hmm. And speaking of colder weather, the new boondoggle, folks. Boondiggle. Boondiggle. President's Day weekend. That's weekend of February 20th. It's down in Thousand Islands, Florida. I've been researching the area. I actually called a couple of guides that are down there that guide boats. They don't guide kayaks. That time of year, folks, if you have a bucket list fish, snook, tarpon, big sharks, this is the time of year to go. So check it out at yakangler.com. Kayakfishingradio.com is also going to have a link. You're looking at a lot of anglers going to be there. Southwest Florida Kayak Angling Association is going to show up. We're only 2.5 hours from the Keys. If you want to learn ditch fishing,
Redfish Chuck's going to be there. I'm going to be there, come hell or high water. There's an airport close by, so if you wanted to fly in, I think there's going to be more than enough kayaks. So definitely check that out, folks. I want this one in February, because this is the kickoff, folks. Everyone's going to be starting to thaw out, hopefully. So this is going to be fun. If you haven't been to a boondoggle or any of those events, definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun. A lot of knowledge is swapped over some beverages. Hang on. I haven't done this tonight. Need to. Some cold beverages and some kayak and fishing talk. So definitely think about it and show up if you can. It'll be a lot of fun. Boondoggle are awesome. Yes, Dan, they are. Last one was in Stan's neck of the woods in Charleston. And from what I understand, Stan, you did an excellent job, man. And I hope that I do a
well
job. We
had a blast down there.
I really hope that when you guys come to Virginia Beach, I can do as hell of a good job as you did, Stan. That was, from what everyone was saying, that was awesome, man. Hope we don't have the situation we did with some people. Gonna leave it at that. Folks, if you say, oh, the drive's too long. Greg, how far did you drive for the Jacksonville one?
Oh, that was local for me. It was only 1,000 miles one way.
Yeah.
That was local.
And if you got a family?
Yeah, it was a great time. I brought my son with me. It was a great father-son trip. He caught a real nice redfish, nice 26-inch redfish. It was great seeing all the people and, having that low country boil that Stan helped organize and put together, and all the other guys that contributed to it. It was a good time, good weekend. So
yeah. If you have family, you can join me at Disney after the boondoggle.
I did that one last year.
Yeah, I'm bringing the whole fam damily with me. And the folks, that's the great thing about it, is don't feel bad about bringing your family if they can't kayak yet, because there's enough family members and stuff to do. I've already got a plan that I'm going to give my wife $1,000 and send her to Miami. That's only about an hour and a half drive with the kids while I'm out there fishing, so she has something to do. See? Plan. You got to think these things out, folks. Think it out. Think it out. She can go do whatever that women do while we're fishing. Unless it's D, then we know what D's doing. D's going to be sitting right there fishing with us, drinking Miller High Life. So, love D. Folks, check out D's website, realkayakfishing.com. She's in Sebastian Inlet. Definitely check that out. Redfish Chuck, unfortunately, didn't show up, but I got to give him his props. He's the Monday night host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show. And his website for guiding and everything else is chuckskayakadventures.com. And yes, folks, that time of the year that I start, or this time of the show, where I start winding down, we've gone over an hour. So it's time for that, faithful time for me to get my props out. Release reels, folks. I can't say enough about these guys. USA, folks, I called the guy named Wes. I called Wes the other day. You were talking, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta go." I said, "Okay, no problem." Hung up the phone. He's like, "I'll give you a call back." Calls me back about 20 minutes later. "Yeah, man, sorry, I had to take the the side plates out of the milling machine. This is the owner of the company, folks, working in the shop. Everything that they have, that they make for these reels, except for maybe, I think, one, maybe two parts, like the bearings, are made in Virginia, in the USA. You can't find a reel that's made exclusively in the USA anymore. So we need to, you know, support this company. They make an excellent reel. And hopefully in the next week or two, they will be coming out with a new line of gear. And say Wes is super excited is an understatement. The whole Release Reels team, good on you guys. You guys are doing a great thing, a great product, beautiful reels. Just really, really slick. I can't say enough about these guys. Check them out at releasereels.com. Just definitely check it out. I can't wait for that spinning reel to come out. Ooh, he was telling me about that the other day there, Greg.
Yeah.
Oh, that spinning reel. Oh, I think I'm going to get rid of every other spinning reel I have and just buy like five or six of these dang things. A completely encapsulated system, so you could take the darn thing, stick it in mud, leave it there for a week, come back, just rinse it off real fast, and it's like it came out of the box. That's just awesome. God, that's awesome. Release reels. See, I got my notes here. I got, folks, everything I talked about, I had notes. I have 3 pages of notes. So I got to find where I got it here. Oh, there we go. YakAngler.com. The ultimate kayak fishing resource. Pick up the hog trough, folks. It's it's going to be the yellow hog troughs or the fluorescent green chartreuse thingy with the Yak Angler logo. Great for taking pictures, stuff like that. Definitely check that out. And they're, you know, the clothes don't look bad on you either. Some pretty cool looking shirts there. Stickers aren't bad either. But also check out the website itself. Lots of knowledge. And if you're listening to the show and you're just starting kayak fishing and or need any help, folks, I get giddy when I see, I need help with my fish bag, or how do you keep your fish when you're out there on the water, or, you know, jigs and anything. Folks, get on there. Ask questions, please. It makes me happy to spread knowledge. Because sharing is caring, and it can be fun. So definitely check out YakAngler.com. Check out IrishWaterDogs.com, folks. Their invitational tournament's coming up here in Jacksonville, Florida. If you live in the area, please attend that. Check out their website. Buy some clothes. Buy a hat. Support these guys. Another all-American company. Please do. 12Fathom.com is D's sponsor. And I'm doing her a favor and helping her out. Check out 12 Fathom. Some great baits there. Also check out YakDaddy.net, home of the slider. Definitely check him out. It's a great site, a great company. I'm the pro staff member. That's why I got to get my props. Greg's a pro staff member. If you're just starting off, have back, shoulder, knees or toe problems, and you can't reach behind you to the crate, check out the slider. Please do. It'll make your life a lot easier. What else, Gray? What am I forgetting?
I think just the other kayak fishing radio shows. You got the Thursday night show.
I don't care about them. You know, there's only one Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic show, and that's the only show you should ever listen to. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, folks, check out all the other shows. We're on every night of the week. Yeah, that's right. From Monday to Friday, you can talk about fishing. And that, who doesn't like talking about fishing? I don't know anyone. So, like I said, folks, Monday night is the Monday night kickoff show with Redfish Chuck. Definitely check him out. The Ditch King. And his tarpoons or trapoons and schnicks. Definitely check out his show. It's a really, really in-depth tips and tactics show. And then Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, you have the Bad Backcast Live by Rob DeVore. A great show. Really well done. It's the live show from his blog, abadbackcast.com. So definitely check that show out. And remember, folks, Wednesday night, this night, is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. Tell your friends, tell your family. Come on, folks. Listen to my show. It's a good show. Thursday night at 8 p.m. is the original, the Godfather show, Kayak Fishing Radio. The original, folks. By Chip Treehugger Gibson is the host. Always good time there. Of course, the official brew of Kayak Fishing Radio Thursday night show is Sweetwater Brewing Company. Friday is the Spike and Ike show with Dennis Spiker and Isaac Isaac Miller, excuse me. Oh, jeez. Definitely check that out. It's a great show. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Remember, folks, all of our shows are on at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, 52 weeks a year. So, definitely check that out. And with that, I think that is it. I'd like to thank Greg for calling in. Remember, folks, tell your friends, tell your family, listen to this show. Support tougher man-hating regulations. And hopefully we can see a change for the better. And with that, I'd like to thank City of Ash from up in Jersey for joining me in the chat room. Mr. Eric Harrison from Buzzards Bay up near Boston. Mr. Hammerhead, again, thank you, sir. Mr. Choi for just showing up. Thanks, Rob. Remember, anglingaddict.com. KayakKevin.com. Check him out. Please do. He finally got the DVDs all burned up and ready to go. That'll be out here soon, a couple weeks. Check out that DVD. It's going to be awesome. So definitely, folks, support local tackle shops. Otherwise, you'd be ordering everything online, and who else would you talk to? Well, you know, when you don't have anything else to do, and the wife's being naggy. And with that, I'm going to say adieu. Folks, it was a great show. Hope to catch you next week. Remember, always wear your PFD, take a kid fishing, and always have fun. Stay safe, folks. Have a great night.